Well, I want to thank you today for joining us as we're getting a great conversation with Bill and Ruth Larson. Thank you guys for joining us today.
You're welcome. Yeah. I'm glad to be here.
And so our hope has been over this series, this 1+1=1, as we're talking about marital oneness. So some of the questions we're going to ask today really have that idea. And so maybe you guys could just start real basic. Tell us a little bit about how long you've been married and tell us a little bit about kind of family structures, kids, grandkids, stuff like that.
Okay.
64 years.
Wow. And August. Counting.
Huh? Yeah, in August.
My memory is bad. Yeah, 60. What else was the question? 64 years.
Tell us about how many kids, grandkids.
Three sons, 7 grandchildren. One of them just got married a few months ago to a chiropractor. Mm-hmm. She's a nurse. Okay. He's a chiropractor.
That's awesome.
We hope they get along.
Yeah. They're kind of got some related fields don't they? That's great. So is that the first of the grandkids to get married?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very exciting.
More coming.
Very cool. Yeah, so 3 sons, 7 grandkids all together, and 64 years this August.
Yep.
Wow. You guys, that's awesome.
It is. It's really awesome. We don't have that many friends that are still living and still at that point.
Absolutely.
They're that's all huge. Gone to heaven. It is huge. I thank the Lord every day
that he's
still here.
I love it. Well, let me ask you this. This has been an interesting question as we've asked in some other conversations with couples. I think that often what happens in our marriage is, and it happens in our parenting, I think, too, but in our marriage, we tend to do what we saw modeled. Now, maybe not for long, maybe we realize that wasn't a good model, you know, whatever, but we often at least begin with that example. This is what I saw, and so I'm going to kind of respond that way initially, might figure some things out along the way. Tell us a little bit for you guys growing up, whether good or bad, what were some of the models that you guys had as far as looking at marriages, maybe in your parents or extended family or whatever? And tell us a little bit how that affected the way you initially related to each other.
My parents, it was a happy home. My parents, I don't think, ever argued in front of the kids. Mm-hmm. I don't recall. There was no anger there. Decisions were being made all the time, I suppose, but I was a kid. I didn't pay much attention to that, but there was a free flow of good-natured parenting, I think. And so it was a natural when Ruth and I got married. This is the way it's done.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Good. And so you'd say a pretty healthy example that you saw growing up in your home.
Yeah, I didn't pay much attention to it then, but later on, sure, wow, this is good. Or this was good, you know.
Yeah.
Thinking about it.
And mine was similar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My father, of course, he was from the old country. Both of my parents were from Armenia. And so, you know, they had cultural problems. Mm-hmm. And so it came over to us. And so, you know, we had adjustments to make, but it was a very happy home.
Mm-hmm.
My father loved to preach Armenian in the little Armenian churches in L.A. And God was always the one in our home that led the way. And so that was what really settled in my mind that I wanted a godly marriage.
Yeah, okay.
More above anything else.
That was important.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And therefore realizing that it was like even in a process of considering marriage, like dating, it was... Mm-hmm. He's got to be a believer.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way God's going to be the middle if that's not there.
Right, right. In fact, when we had decided to get married, I remember that I was so concerned that this was the right thing to do that I asked the Lord, just in my stupid youth, I said, Lord, if it's not your will for Bill and I to marry, I want you to take me to heaven right now. That's how
important it was.
Yes, because I had seen my siblings make
choices
that weren't the best.
Yeah.
And I did not want that.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. So different things you guys saw. You can think back to seeing what you saw as children in your own home, but then even watching other couples around you, good and bad, just realizing these are things I'm looking at and using as examples to make decisions as we move forward.
Right.
That's awesome. Very good. All right. Well, tell us a little bit of this. Let's go back. We're going back like 60, because it relates to how you met, at least 65 years probably or more. Tell us a little bit how you met. When did you know? We just talked about when you were engaged, you're like, Lord, this important. When did you know that this was the person you were going to marry? Tell us a little bit about when you met and then along the dating process.
Oh, wow.
I'll start.
Feels like you asked a tough one.
And it'll come to you, okay? I'll start and it'll come to you.
I don't know when it happened.
Well, we were in church together.
Do you know the moment?
Oh, no, honey. We were in the youth group together.
I know, but
I don't remember those moments. I just knew one was looking.
It was a gradual thing, I guess. I don't know.
There's probably a few people who would go, man, on this day, I mean, you hear those stories, right? Like, when I saw her walk in the room, I knew, you know. It's like, that's probably more
but
rare.
But he's forgotten. He did kiss me at a Christmas party.
Way to go. As a youth group church Christmas party?
Yes.
Even better. Way to go, Bill.
She thinks that, what's that?
Mistletoe.
There's magic in mistletoe.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And I had it all over my house.
You were every youth pastor's nightmare. Don't let these kids make out at my event. Don't let this happen. I walked that road. I know this well.
And it was house, so I had it all over.
There's mistletoe everywhere hanging
out.
Right. I love it. Strategically placed.
That's right.
It's like, hey, Bill, come on over here. That's great. So dating relationship began, like, even in high school? Or after high school?
I think it was after high school.
Bill
was in the service. Okay. He was a Marine.
So there was kind of like but it was at church was where you guys first met?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
It was interesting. Our pastor one morning, I recall this, mentioned among some other announcements that, hey, these two or three Armenian families are now fellowshipping with us. They are neat people. They love the Lord. Why don't you get acquainted with them? So I got acquainted.
Bill's like, I'm going to be the welcome one here. The question was, do they have any daughters? This is great. I love it. Way to take that seriously. Way to take what the pastor said. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to make sure she feels very welcome. I love it. Way to go, Bill. Very cool. So you guys met there in that context after high school. Bill's in the service. You guys meet each other in church, even at that. Like, that's kind of interesting to know. Even as you guys came in, did you come in with, like, some other relatives? Was it multiple families that kind of came together at once to the church?
Actually, it was just my sister and I because my father was still dealing in the Armenian.
Oh, okay.
The Armenians.
There was another family there, but yeah, most of them, not the parents.
Yeah,
because the parents were from the old country, and they're still, you know, kind of in their own circle. They had a Bible study in Huntington Beach with Chuck Smith way back then, and but we weren't in that because we were in the youth department at Calvary Church Santa Ana.
Yeah, so a new generation.
So, yeah, and so, you know, that's where we went to church, and it wasn't necessarily with our parents, but our parents would come once in a while. Well, his parents came a lot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that was their core for church.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. So you guys started dating. Tell me a little bit, what were some moments maybe along the line in that dating relationship where you realized, this is more than dating. This is more than I'm interested. Or we get along well. It's like, he or she's the one. Any Bill's still going to be going,
well,
nope, it was gradual.
It happened. Those things happened. But how can I put a point on when it happened? It's I can't do that.
Yeah.
It grew, it seemed like.
Yeah.
Well, if for one thing, I think that one thing that brought us together was he had to catch the train to Oceanside every Sunday night.
Okay.
And my sister drove the car down and dropped him off at the train station. And so I was there, of course. Yeah. She was my ride home. Mm-hmm. And so that's when we really connected, I think.
Which is kind of making those drives to the rail station.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he'd start calling me. I don't remember that, dude, honey. It's all right.
Unfortunately, my memory is really, really failing.
But the good news is, look who you got out of all this.
That's right.
This is good. You were doing something right along the way.
Yes. And you know something? We laugh about this memory thing because the doctor told us what we have or what he has. Cognitive
dissonance.
Big
words. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's just that if you get too busy and there's too much going on, you really get confused.
I love it. That's good. It's nice to have a long name for something.
That's
like that.
Right. So we know have. And after all, it's time. He's 87,
exactly.
And I'm going to be 86. So,
there you go.
Hey, we're lucky to be alive.
Amen.
And still, I told Jeff yesterday, please don't put us in a crazy place. Because I forgot where I put a lamp.
Jeff is our son, by the way.
Yeah,
he knows. I forgot I put a lamp I bought. And he came to the house and found it.
You're like, don't do it. You just keep telling him, I'm
am.
Still good, Jeff. I'm still good. We're all good. I love it. Well, you for sure knew the time when you bought a ring and you said, hey, Ruth, this is what we're going to do. I love
it. We went together to buy that ring.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wanted to make sure you got the right one.
Yes, I did.
I really sealed it, I think, when I was in Japan with the Marine Corps for a few months. And in the PX, they had all this good material for sale and a good price on it. I bought this big box of Noritake China service for 12 or so in there.
Okay.
Sent that home.
A China set. That's awesome.
And yeah, we weren't even engaged yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're paving the way.
Yeah,
I
love it.
So then I thought, oh, he's serious.
He's serious.
Yeah,
exactly.
I got to think about
that. You don't buy a girl China just because.
That's right.
Unless you plan to use it with her someday.
Right.
Good job, Bill. I love it. That's good. Good man. Well, let's do this. Tell me, you know, we've talked so much. This will in the future do more on the subject of marriage in church, but in our weekend worship services. But I wanted to start just with the foundation. Let's start with the basics. What does God say marriage is? We really think that a relatively close synonym to marriage is oneness, this connection, this sense of, you know, as Jesus said, the two shall no longer, they should only be two, but now one. When you guys hear that word oneness as it relates to your relationship, your marriage, what are some different ways that that expresses itself, that oneness is shown in your marriage rather than just like a theoretical idea? What's it look like in the life of Bill and Ruth?
Oh.
Well, you know, I was telling Bill just recently, well, actually on the way over here, that, you know, now couples, when they're thinking about getting married, they try to find out all the things they have in common. Bill and I have nothing in common except the Lord.
Yeah.
And so when we were married, that was the thing that kept us.
That was the glue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was. I never thought about divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Murder sometimes.
But my thoughts might have drifted there, but never divorce.
That's right. That was a commitment. Well, my dad would have killed me anyway. But the thing that you know, and he's a hiker. And I never knew that about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew that he hiked a lot. And I didn't think, I'm not a hiker.
You're
I wasn't.
Well. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, with three boys, what do you do?
You learn how to be a hiker.
That's right.
You're outnumbered in that home.
Or you stay home and you're alone.
Exactly.
And I was not going to do that.
I love it.
So, you know, I ended up hiking 8 miles with a pack on my back.
Because, like, hey, I'm a Larson with all these boys around me.
That's right.
I'm going to do it.
And I'm glad I did. Of course, we made wonderful memories. But, you know, I think every once in a while, man, we didn't do it right.
Mm. What?
Because we didn't find out about if we had anything in common.
But I like what you said. You said that, so you're interacting with younger people and you're hearing them say, you know, we got to make sure we have all these things in common. And maybe part of what you're saying is that, you know, as we do that, if that would have been the thing that was most important to us about our different likes and hobbies,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't have been together.
Mm-mm.
But because we knew that the Lord needed to be the center and the focus, the other things mattered, but they mattered less. Is that a way to
That's
say
right.
that? Yeah. And then over the course of time, what's happened is it sounds like different types of things have been exchanged. So like,
mm-hmm.
it's like, hey, Bill loves to get out in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? At some point, Ruth's learning how to get out in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, some great memories are made. And that's really cool. It's a neat thing to see. I remember when we talked to Walter and Gail, there was also that we couldn't be more apart,
mm-hmm.
as far as our personalities, mm-hmm.
yep.
our difference, our likes and hobbies. But that's a beautiful thing that over time, God starts kind of bending our hearts
mm-hmm.
together.
Yeah.
You know,
and
that.
We had, you know, we went on trip. We loved traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did mission projects
mm-hmm.
together.
That was the way you travel.
Yeah,
I love it.
Traveled. We went to Australia
mm-hmm.
to fix up a motel for Wycliffe
and
mm-hmm.
Somebody else over there. Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. Well, oneness comes into my mind automatically if I'm making plans or buying something or thinking, how's this going to. How's
this going to
react?
Her?
Or
yeah.
this lady here react?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it going to fit, sort of thing? You know, it's automatic.
Yeah, it just becomes like this way of a grid, right? Almost
yeah.
like the way you see the world. How's this affect Ruth?
Yeah.
What'd she think about it? Good. And I'd say, you guys, even just the times we've been able to talk and just meet, even outside of today, what I always enjoy about being together with you is that you just have a great friendship. You have a great companionship. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's another great, to me, when I look at your life and your marriage, I see that and I really am grateful for that. It's just that, to me, oneness has, like, that's why we're asking every couple that. It plays itself out in some ways that in some in most marriages look a lot alike, but in some marriages even like, now it's kind of a uniqueness to us. Mm-hmm. Or for you guys, I love that part. It's like, we just love being together. You know, what we do has that commonality.
Yeah. And I, you know, all those times that I was on that trail, I kept telling him, I am the motel type. And he was not listening. And, you know, but...
He's like, I know better, Ruth. You're a camper. You just don't know it yet.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to help you find your inner camper.
But, I wish I'd known that one.
You could have told me that. I would have heard that. Anyway.
No, that's great. I love it. That's really good. So let's ask this question. This might be related to even some of the same answers. When you think of this idea then of oneness, and if that's what, you know, Jesus said, that's really part of the essence of marriage. And one of the goals is to maintain that and live in that. What have been some of the challenges to oneness? What have been the things that have been, man, this is causing us to want to feel like we're not on the same page or that we're not working in the same direction? What have been some of the things that have kind of made oneness a challenge at times, different seasons?
Of anything?
No.
Well, it probably was for me when I started teaching Bible study fellowship, because I had to leave him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my thing. And of course, now it still is, because I still leave him mm-hmm. to come to here and do mentoring and teaching the word or handling the word. And that's the only thing. But it has never bothered him, because he's not outgoing. He doesn't need people.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I love people.
Different
I love
way of
women.
Introvert, extrovert,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, he's an introvert and I'm an extrovert. And he's perfectly happy at home with his computer and reading. And, you know, he's...
Whatever the list said for that day.
That's right. We got our task list, too. A honey-do list. Mm-hmm. So that's a good point, though, Ruth and Bill, is that even our personalities, when we can maybe accept that we're different
mm-hmm.
and function out of that and be okay that the other person's not me, mm-hmm. that goes great. But maybe sometimes where there's tension or just even a sense of loss is, oh, I hope this is okay though, because I'm more wired this way, he's more wired mm-hmm. that way, vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And is that going to be okay with us that we're not mm-hmm. the same?
Yeah. And it wasn't a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the only things that really bugged me about it was that I had to go on retreats
mm-hmm.
and I had to leave him with the boys.
Some extended
but it was
time,
great
right?
for the boys mm-hmm. because he did stuff with the boys.
Yeah, hike.
Yeah, exactly. And not worried if Ruth's going to be okay with this or not today.
It didn't matter.
We're just going to go do it. I love it. That's
so anyway,
great.
And you know, when we were even doing youth work, because he was the youth pastor at our little church,
mm-hmm.
and you know, he did the directing and I worked behind the scenes and it was fine.
It's great.
Because that's the way it worked then.
Yeah.
But then it changed.
Fortunately, it wasn't long.
But that's neat though. Yeah. The, again, back to that compliment of gifts, even in compliment of roles in that season, Bill's up front. He's doing some stuff with the students in a youth pastor role, but there you are, Ruth, and you're doing administrative things. You're doing things to come mm-hmm. alongside, bring support. And I think that's one of the things I love, like even in this series, we got to talk a little bit about that as one great way when we talked on the weekend of roles,
mm-hmm.
that we realize that when we will see that the way that roles complement each other and that they're different,
mm-hmm.
but yet they can have the same focus, like involved in the same area of ministry. I love looking around at marriages at Trinity Church. I see so many examples of that, of people who go, our gifts are different, but we're both serving in this area
mm-hmm.
because it's something we can do together. It's somewhere we can both, you know, contribute
mm-hmm.
and we get to have that connection in the middle of it all. So I love that. Love hearing that. Well, let me ask you this. What, you know, one of the things that either, you know, people who are single and anticipating marriage, those engaged or those who are married, they're always thinking a little bit about there are parts of marriage that just come more difficult. They're more difficult for some of us than for others. So meaning this, when you think about some of the skills, maybe related to communication, maybe related to living in your role and your response, maybe related to even just, you know, tasks, who does this, who does that? What would you say are some of the skills of being a married couple that you've grown in that necessarily weren't necessarily there originally, but it's like, we got to get better at this. And one of the things you look back now over almost 64 years and you go, yeah, this is some ways that we've grown in terms of just the skill of being married.
Well, probably the things that he can do that I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And he just takes the responsibility to do it around the house, fixing things. And the car is always his responsibility. I don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
I just drive it.
You just drive it. he puts
the gas in.
I don't even do that yet.
I
love it. Good job,
and
though.
He prepares the food. I guess I clean up the
kitchen. And that's what he does now.
There you go.
Yes, because when he retired, I said, my job looks the same as yours, does it?
I love it.
And so
I'm still doing what I've always been doing, but yours has changed.
Yeah, that's right.
You can add to your plate now.
I did. He irons now, and he does the dishes after I fix dinner.
I love it.
And I fix
it.
Less and less of it, so my job is getting less, and his is the same.
That's great. So, yeah, so you would even say that's an interesting point, that even some of the tasks related to what a couple does to make a home work have even changed over time.
Yes.
Based on availability, based on just, you know, life requirements of other areas.
Yeah.
And that's good. Because I think sometimes, like, part of my heartbeat is for these interviews is I want to help people who especially are at life stages where it just feels, and even like you're doing team mom stuff in the mentoring, it feels like it's up to here. Like, I don't know if this is, you know, I've got multiple children dependent on me and challenges within our marriage just to, you know, keep walking the way the Lord wants us to. It almost seems like I just can't, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, I watch them and it's really scary for me to watch them because I'm dealing with those gals.
Yeah.
And I really feel for them because the world is throwing a lot more at them than we ever had.
Yeah. A lot of different distractions, a lot of different demands, right, than what, might have been a generation or two ago. Yeah, that's good, though. That's important because sometimes I think for even couples to hear that even the ebbs and flows of seasons within marriage, different things change, whether it be tasks, whether it be roles within the home, different things that we take care of. And that's to be expected. Because I think sometimes we can just feel like this is never going to change or he'll never change or she'll never change. Mm-hmm. But would you say a lot of that is even just kind of perseverance, patience?
Yeah. Oh, I thought I could change him. But after 5 years, I thought, I guess I better just let the Lord do it. And he didn't even know he needed to change.
So change, change from what to what?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Why change?
See?
I love it. That's great. Oh, that's good. Well, tell me this. You know, when you think about different couples, maybe you could even have, you know, don't use their names, but people in mind or just theoretically, words of wisdom. What would you say from this vantage point of, and you can look back over any of the seasons of marriage, because again, you guys have had a lot that has ebbed and flowed within your relationship. What would just be some words of wisdom for couples that are trying to navigate this, whatever that season is you'd refer to, that would just help them continue to trust the Lord and keep moving forward?
Well, for me, because I see these gals and I tell them, you know what? There's nothing that important to fight about.
Hmm.
There's not one thing in the world that is that important. And I know some of these gals are dealing with serious, serious issues. I have a gal in my group that is just really dealing. When she comes here, she says, I'm in the light. And when I'm at home, I'm in the darkness.
Hmm.
And so, you know, that's what I tell them. I say, you know, there is nothing, unless it has to do with life and death situations. And even then, don't argue about it. It's not worth having a wedge between the two of you where you can work it through together easier than you could by yourself.
That's good.
So that's what I tell my gals.
What about you, Bill?
We're just talking about Christ followers or this couple?
Yeah. Let's address specifically people who are following the
Lord.
Prayer
and patience, I would say, it would be a top priority. It takes time.
And to pray together, because we've done that for ever since.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I love it that even we've had that initiative going on right now, this 21-day prayer challenge for our couples. And You know, for a lot, I think that we kind of generally know it's a good idea, but it's like this. It's like when we get to talk to people who've been as married as long as you guys have, it's so powerful to hear that from you, just because I think sometimes we'll go, couples will say, we'll always ask the question, what's the secret? We ask that question all the mm-hmm. time. And when we keep hearing some of the same answers, we should do something with that. Mm-hmm. It's not just a thing that's neat
it's
for you.
Flippant, yeah.
It's something that I can absorb. I can, you know, put into motion and apply mm-hmm. in my life, in my marriage. Yeah. And that sounds like that's a really key one, is that we need to pray together. We need to be on the same page, but also mm-hmm. with the Lord mm-hmm. together, yeah. you know, moving forward.
Because especially, you know, now we see our grown children, and they have, you know, they're dealing with some of this stuff mm-hmm. and we can't fix them.
Yeah.
But God can.
Yeah.
And so we pray for them and pray that, you know, somebody's eyes will be open and the Lord will show someone something and step in, and the Lord does it.
Mm. That's great. I love it. Well, you guys, we are so excited to get some time with you today. It's really been great. These are questions that I know are the kinds of things that couples are wanting to know and wanting help with. And so I love just kind of getting to hear your big picture story and moments about, you know, even how it's going today and how it's been. So thank you for taking time. Our goal, again, is just how can we help people as they consider, God, we want the essence of what you say. If marriage is about oneness, yeah. we want to live in that. Mm-hmm. And I just appreciate not only your guys' example, but even your words today towards that. So thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. We're happy to
be a part of it.